So we are discussing from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 29. It's a very famous shloka. As Srila Prabhupada used to call it, peace formula. So the link we have discussed in the previous 5.27 and 28. What is that shloka? Sparshan kritva bahir bahyans chakshushaivantare bhuvo. Pranapanau samau kritva nasabhyantar charinau. Yatendriya mano buddhir munir moksha parayanaha. Vigadachabhaya krodho yaha sada mukta evasaha. So we have discussed that a person first performs Nishkam Karma Yoga, then he comes to Gyan Yoga, because by Nishkam Karma Yoga, spiritual knowledge is revealed, and to further get realization of Atma and Paramatma, he will do Ashtanga Yoga. And this was explained in text number 27 and 28. He drives away the remembrance of sense objects, and he fixes his mind, the eyes in the middle part of the brows, eyebrows, and he balances the pranapan vayu, or the airs, life airs, nasabhyant, which is going through the nostrils, and he controls his mind, intelligence, and senses. And in this way, a muni who is desiring liberation becomes free from desire, vigata ichha, fear and anger, and such a person is also liberated while he is doing sadhana. This we have discussed yesterday. So now, this shloka explains, it's not that simply by controlling the senses a person will become liberated. This is a very important point. Any sadhana's sadhya or the fruit is given by the Supreme Lord. So unless a person understands the superiority of Lord Shri Krishna, any sadhana, no sadhana will bring fruit. What is the problem here? Yes. Are you able to follow the link? It's not that simply by control of the senses that a person can attain liberation. He has to also know that Supreme Lord is Krishna. And then understanding that, he will attain final liberation or ultimate liberation. So very beautiful shloka. Please chant after me.
Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram surhudam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति भोक्तारां यज्ञतपसां सर्वलोकमहेश्वरम् सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति भोक्तराम यज्ञ तपसाम सर्वलोक महेश्वरम सुहृदम सर्वभूतानाम ज्ञात्वा माम शांति मृच्छति.
Suddenly some pop-up sound is coming. I don't know why. What is the reason? Because of this? Anyways, want to chant?
भोक्ताराम यज्ञ तपसाम सर्वलोक महेश्वरम सुहृदम सर्वभूतानाम ज्ञात्वा माम शांतिम ऋच्छति.
सो विल सी द वर्ड मीनिंग्स नाउ. व्हाई देयर सम साउंड इज कमिंग टिक 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 टिक. आई एम सरप्राइज्ड. इज दिस एवरीबॉडी इज नॉट म्यूटेड और व्हाट? एवरीबॉडी इज म्यूटेड. नॉट बिकॉज ऑफ नॉट घड़ी का नहीं आ रहा. एनीवेज गो फॉरवर्ड. Okay. Sanskrit breakup. Yagya tapasam bhoktaram. As the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. Means, any yagya has to be done. It is to be done to please Krishna. Any austerity has to be done. It has to be done to please Krishna. That one has to understand.
Sarvalok Maheshwaram as the supreme lord of all planets and devi gods. So he must understand that Krishna is the supreme lord. Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam, and as the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. So he does not hate the supreme lord. It's very important. The lord is desiring well-wish, is desiring well for every living entity, even if a living entity is put in difficulty. The Lord has not put that living entity, particular living entity, in, put Tulsi Devi here. The Lord has not put the living entities into this material tabernacle, material world, to enjoy their suffering. Lord is not cruel. Krishna is not cruel. Because we wanted to enjoy, so Krishna facilitated. He does not like or does not want us to suffer here. This is an extremely important point. Unless we know that Krishna is all merciful, all loving, why will we surrender to him? This is an extremely important point to be understood. Then only a person would like to surrender to Krishna. Mam gyatva, after knowing me thus. Mam means Krishna is referring to himself. Shantim richati, one attains peace. So what does it mean? It means when a person will know that Lord is the supreme Lord of everything, he is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, all tapasya. Basically what it means to say is by he will give up, that person will give up other desires and simply serve Krishna for his pleasure. You know that mukti, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakali, ashant, Krishna bhakti, nishkam, ate, eva, shant. So Krishna is my eternal well-wisher, is my only friend, is very my most dear friend. So why should I act in any way to displease him? If I desire sense gratification, that is not pleasing to Krishna. If I desire liberation, that is not at all pleasing to Krishna. And if we are desiring siddhi also, it is not pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is pleased when we render service to him in a favorable attitude without desiring any material remuneration. That is how Krishna is most pleased. So when a person does understand that, he will behave in that way and he will become peaceful. Make sense? I will explain, try to explain it more, but let us read the translation. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Okay, one thing you should understand. If you can't relate how by knowing Krishna a person becomes peaceful, see it in Vyatirek, in a different way. That why we are not peaceful? Because we have revolted against Krishna. Krishna bhuliya jeev anadir bahirmukh ate mayate dar sansara dukh. Now it is clear. Forgetting Krishna, the living entities have been forgetful of Krishna, or means turning their face away from Krishna's service. The living entities have been forgetful of their relationship with Krishna since beginningless time. Okay? And because they want to avoid Krishna, only because of this problem, the material nature is punishing them. You can put Tulsi Devi this side or whatever, come this side, whichever way it works. Yeah. Is this coming clear? Because we will not understand how by serving Krishna we are becoming peaceful. So, agar ulte mein dekhenge samjh aayega, because we are not serving Krishna, who's our very source, our full existence depends. So this is high level of ungratefulness, high level of ungratefulness. The person who's sustaining us, we don't want to do anything for him. So naturally we'll become peaceful. Not peaceful. Make sense to you? And it's very simple way. Just 9 o'clock we're going to have prasadam. So if we feed the stomach, then we become peaceful and all the senses become nourished. And you see how this formula is not only working, it's not only theoretical, it's practical also. When a devotee, as practicing devotees, we practice Krishna consciousness, we feel so much peaceful. And if you have noticed, the only reason we were not feeling peaceful was because of material desires. Before we go forward, is that point sinking in? Only when we have some material desires, then we become unpeaceful. Because we know for maintaining the body, we don't need to exert much. But if there is a desire for fame, desire for sense gratification, desire for anything except Krishna's service, we become dissatisfied. Right from the point when that desire had arisen in our heart. Is that point clear? But you see, as by the practice of bhakti, so many of our desires are getting, how to say, disappearing, so we feel so much more peaceful. Are you able to feel that or you don't feel that? Is it not? So many of our desires get evaporated, material desires, by chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And reflect upon it, when you desire, I want to hear Bhagavad Gita, do you burn in your heart? That is a heart burn, right? If you say, I must hear Bhagavatam, your heart doesn't burn, rather you feel happy, is it not? Just when we desire to serve Krishna, we become happy. What to talk of actually serving Krishna? Does it make sense? I think this shloka is becoming clear to us by practical experience. And when we were not devotees, or at least not practicing bhakti, we see how we can definitely see from our own experience how much we were disturbed. Again, this is a very important thing. This shloka is practically experienced by every devotee who practices bhakti. Gita Bhushan commentary. This verse explains that such a person situated in samadhi, and we will first discuss in context to Gita Bhushan commentary. Having accomplished a vision of his own Atma, becomes liberated by then worshipping Paramatma. That Paramatma is the maintainer and ruler of... Sorry, hold on, let me explain this. How he got the vision of Atma? First, did Nishkam Karma Yoga. That means Varnashram duties offered to Krishna. And then he came to Gyan Yoga by meditation. And to further concentrate that meditation, he did Ashtanga Yoga. But still he won't be liberated unless he worships Krishna. That's what explains, as per Gita Bhushan, that he worships, understand the Supreme Lord is Krishna, and then he offers all the yajnas he has done, already has done, all the tapasya he is doing, all everything to Krishna, and with the attitude that Krishna is my eternal well-wisher. And in that way he becomes liberated. Is that point clear? Okay. That Paramatma is the maintainer and ruler of yajna and tapas, Bhoktaram. That means the Lord alone can give results from performance of one's sadhana. Samaj mai baat? That whatever yajna is performed, the result is coming, is dependent on the pleasure of the Lord. Whatever tapasya I am doing, is not that I am doing tapasya, then Lord is bound to give me results. By that tapasya, the Lord is supposed to be pleased. This is not an easy thing to understand. Many times, or again, say most of the time in this world, people are not aware that this yajna is for Krishna or Vishnu. Is it not? People do so many yajnas, they are not aware. And they do also so many tapasyas, but they are not aware that this tapasya is for Krishna. We think that only we are fasting. It's not that. Many people are fasting. They are doing so much japa. So many things they are doing. Maybe even more than us. But they don't know that by this, Krishna has to be pleased. If you remember the shloka from Bhagavatam, Vasudeva para jnanam, Vasudeva para tapaha, Vasudeva para veda, ityadi, ityadi. That means the Vedas are meant for realizing Vasudev. Any tapasya is meant for pleasing Vasudev, like that. So, a very important point in this regard is that bhajaniya has to be clear. Whom I am supposed to worship to get my ultimate benefit is very clear. It has to be very clear, and only then a person will invest all his energies. Make sense to you? So, Krishna, through Bhagavad Gita, it makes it very clear that bhajaniya is Krishna only. Bhajaniya means the person who is supposed to be worshipped. So this is becoming very clear from this shloka itself. Am I going too fast? Or it's okay. So did you understand the meaning? Bhoktaram yajna tapasaram. He is the person who gives the results of yajna and tapasya. So I must do any yajna or tapasya for his pleasure only, directly. There is no doubt that he does not think that some demigod is giving. No. He is the great Lord Maheshwaram of all beings, even of Brahma and Shiva. Sarva Loka. Chira Loka Palai. The word comes in Bhagavatam. Those who are great managers of this universe, they also they pay their obeisances or they put touch their head at the feet of lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna.
Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Stunvanti Divyai Stavai Vedai Sanga Pada Prukrishadai Gayanti Yam Samaga Dhyanavastit Tadgatena Manasa Pashanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam na viduh surasur gana devaya tasmai namaha.
Same thing Sutta Goswami says, that Lord Krishna, I am paying obeisance to Lord Shri Krishna who is being worshipped by Brahmaji. Once again, bhoktaramya ki tapasam. Bhoktaram is enjoyer, or the purpose of any yajna or the purpose of any tapasya is to please Krishna. That is the point. It's like now this Bhagavad Gita Yajna, Katha Gyan Yajna. this is called Gyan Yajna. By this we are worshipping Krishna. The Lord Himself says that simply by understanding, trying to understand this discussion of Bhagavad Gita, a person is worshipping the Lord. So now, by this, what we want to achieve? We want to achieve the pleasure of Supreme Lord. His benedictions may fall upon us and we develop love for Him. Very simple. If this attitude is there, we become peaceful. Was it okay? Any yajna, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, or any yajna we are doing, tapasya we are doing, it is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and He gives the result. And one thing is very interesting. If you are aware of it, we must be aware of it, that when we worship Krishna, our worship is never a failure. Mam archanam nan gatum anyatha. That Lord Vishnu says, whenever a person has worshipped me, or whenever a person worships me, that worship never goes in vain. Whenever you chant Hare Krishna, it's worship of Krishna, it never goes in vain. It's the highest yajna. It is the highest tapa. Na naam sam yajna, na naam sam tapa, na naam sam vrata. So, the result of this is awarded by Lord Shri Krishna Himself. I mean, any yajna for that matter, but I am talking particularly in context of chanting Hare Krishna. So, if you still can't understand, have you not noticed in your home, the Matajis were doing this Karva Chauth Vrat. So were they aware this result of this vrat is coming from Krishna? No. Then Santoshi Mata ka vrat. Well, Santoshi Mata doesn't exist also. It's amazing how people's faith can be guided by a movie. But they are not aware that it is coming from Krishna. It's a very great mystery. Any demigod also, somebody gives something, that is only through coming through Krishna. Okay. The Shruti says, Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. He is the great supreme master of all controllers. Shvita Shrutar Upanishad. So, this is confirmed. He is the unprejudiced assister of all beings. Unprejudiced means he does not hate a particular living entity and he does not particularly favor a living entity. Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. Does it make sense to you? We have heard before also, Panditaha Samadarshina. He sees that the Supreme Lord is equal in awarding different bodies and different situations to different living entities as per their karma. He does not have any prejudice. He does not hate anyone and neither he is favoring anyone particularly. Make sense? You remember the whole point. We hate anyone because he impedes our sense gratification. And we like a person because he gives us sense gratification. But the Lord doesn't have need for any sense gratification. So he is simply facilitating the desires of the living entities as per their karma. But Suhrudam Sarvabhuta. Now you may say, but if he is really Suhrud, then he should tell the living entities to give up sense gratification and come back to him. Well, he is telling in Bhagavad Gita, but the problem is the living entities don't hear. This is a very, very important point. A loving father can't kill his child. If the child wants to revolt, what the father can do? We can't imagine how much Krishna loves us. How much Krishna loves us. We just can't imagine that. So, I don't know why this is coming. Technical error or whatever. So anyways, that is But the Lord, when He allows us to be in the material world, He makes sure that we suffer nicely. Do you think it is His mercy? Yes. Yes. We suffer nicely, and that suffering may make us think, I am suffering here. Is there any way to get out? Artha arthat jigyasu jnani cha bhaktar shubha. A person who is pious, and when he is in difficulty, he will come to Krishna. Can you appreciate that difficulties are also assisting the living entity to go towards Krishna? When a person is very opulent, he doesn't feel any need to turn to Krishna. But many times in difficulty, a person feels a need to turn towards Krishna. This is very much needed. I don't know why there is so much click, click, chick, chick. There is a difficulty now. But we'll complete the class anyways. So why I'm saying that Krishna, even when he's putting difficulty, that is just to bring the living entity towards him. Because then only all his difficulties will be solved forever. This is a very deep statement, that a person should not criticize Krishna for cruelty. If we actually think that Krishna is cruel, then, Kurvam to nahi khula hai. There is maybe a possibility that because of the current, I don't know what's the problem. Now, what is the thing? It seems the webcam is a problem. I don't know. Something has to be there. Anyhow, it is not giving much trouble, is it not? You can hear it still. Just imagine if there was no difficulty in your life, would you become Krishna conscious? No. No way. No way. We are so stubborn. Even with so much pain, we are so stubborn. We are hoping somehow that this plan did not work out. But my other plans will surely work out and I'll be happy. So, realizing me as the object of worship with those qualities. Which qualities? Bhoktanam yagyavasam sarvalok maheshwaram suhrdam sarvabhutanam. The person attains the cessation of sansara, shanti. That means he does not take birth again and again. Satisfying and worshipping the Lord of all beings and the benefactor of all beings indeed is pleasurable in execution and produces the ultimate happiness for the jiva. Have you noticed this point? In Bhagavatam also is mentioned. It means worshipping Krishna, serving Krishna is pleasurable even during the period of sadhana. You must be feeling some kind of happiness when we discuss Bhagavad Gita. Every time we discuss Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, it is satisfying and pleasurable in a different way. So now, did you understand this point? So even during the sadhana, this bhakti process is very pleasurable. And what to talk of when we get love of God? Now some devotee is saying that I started chanting even when I was not in pain. So I am not saying that is the only possibility. Some people were jnani also. Jnani means they will hear philosophy and they will start chanting. But there are many people who are so stubborn and, or I would say so dull-headed. Please forgive my words. But they are so dull-headed. Unless there is some pain and misery, they won't come to Krishna. And in that also, a person is pious, they will come to Krishna. It's not that everyone who is suffering is coming to Krishna. Theek hai? Before we go forward, I would like to explain this little bit on this point of being pious and being moved towards Krishna. There are three kinds of Sukriti, you know that? Bhogon Mukhi Sukriti, Mokshon Mukhi Sukriti and Bhaktion Mukhi Sukriti. So Bhogon Mukhi Sukriti means a karma kand. A person does karma kand, then that action will give him a Sukriti by which his faith will be directed to that kind of karma kand only. Is it okay? Mokshon Mukhi means a person will associate or has done some action which will make him aspire for liberation. And Bhaktion Mukhi Sukriti means meeting devotees somehow or other, or something, maybe he has planted a tree by which under which a devotee has stayed or something like that. Something. That seeing that, because of that asset, the Lord will inspire him to take to bhakti. That's why I keep on saying that none of us are here by accident. We have collected sukriti since many, many lifetimes, and when it is getting mature, now we are developing this natural faith that Bhagavad Gita is correct. I must hear Bhagavad Gita, I must chant Hare Krishna, I must offer food to Krishna. Are you feeling, understanding this point? When I'm explaining to you, I have a deep desire to explain the process of devotional service if devotees like to allow me. Not in 2 minutes. Whole chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay? Not 2 minutes. Hey, yes, 2 minutes to Sanjay. 2 minutes to Sanjay. Nay, nay. Which explains Vaidhi Bhakti, Raga Bhakti. Since we are closing this chapter today, I have a very deep desire to discuss that. Yesterday I read it and it's wonderful. And to make it life easy, if the devotees want, I can have it in Hindi or English. English is more easy. We don't have to do anything. We just copy paste from Vidavis. And in Hindi then also. But actually it really is very, very helpful for our bhakti. How to execute bhakti so that we get love of God. And we are hearing from Krishna here. And there we are going to hear from Mahaprabhu. Same Krishna is it not? His instruction to Sanatana Goswami. So if you like, we can do that. I was yesterday reading, was so enthused. I shared many things yesterday in the night. I could not sleep till 11:15 or something. Very, very, very nice. Very inspiring. And whole science is explained there. So anyway, so you understand this point. Even during sadhana, we are happy. We are not doing some special austerity. And when we get love of God, then we become happy also. By Nishkam Karma Yoga, the most prominent yoga which contains within its jnana, the sannishtha devotee attains liberation. This is the meaning of the first chapter. This is how Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains it. Okay. Prominent yoga means this is practiced by most people because most people are qualified for it. But we take it as simply as bhakti yoga. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. Very nice. Sab shanti kar rahe hain. It's amazing that Prabhupada makes a comment that how First World War was there, is it not? And then this is too much, we want peace. But again, they made League of Nations. And again, they tried to make peace, but peace never happened. And I think Adbhut Krishna, I don't know, is in Chicago or somewhere. Maybe I've heard in West people are more disturbed. I'm not sure, but I heard that. They can't tolerate anything. A little bit of, difficulty or something, they can't tolerate it. The more we facilitate sense gratification, the more we become less peaceful, the more we become anxious actually. This is not known. Now just imagine if you think, is it not, all of you, I mean the brahmacharis are here, but are you not feeling a sense of fulfillment in your life? I am getting to chant my rounds, I am hearing Harikatha, I am getting my prasadam. And basically, I need this only. How many devotees are actually feeling that? Okay, some devotees are not sure. Devati Mataji is not sure. Maybe yes, no, I don't know. Maybe sure, maybe not sure. Adbhut Krishna still wants to do some job. Yeah, fine, okay. Achyut Krishna. Oh, Achyut Krishna is here also. Yes, yes, Lala. So you are also happy. So you can see that we may do our duties in the material world while we are here. But the more we practice bhakti, it appears to be little tapasya. But we actually become peaceful. So many of our desires are going away. So practically we are working. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Now, I want to explain this. The word yagya, yagyaha karma samudbhavam. You remember the instructions of Lord Krishna? Yagyas are born from prescribed duties, activities. So what does it mean, yagya bhoktaram? That the Lord should be the object of pleasure of all our activities. So a question will come, if I'm doing job, how that is pleasing to Krishna? Okay, you do job, but not simply aggrandize money, but so that you can have sufficient money by which you can do bhakti. Ab to asaan hai ki nahi. But if we just do job, just to get money, we will not be happy. We will not be happy. And whatever money comes should also again should be used for Krishna's service. See, even if a person has family, the whole family should do bhakti, then everything, all this money should be used for Krishna's service. Right? Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. Now this is quite interesting. Sometimes I think or we think, why should I give my money or my energies to Krishna? Well, the answer is very simple, because it belongs to Him anyways. And many times explained, when you put your money in the bank, you don't feel I am losing my money. So if you start, if we develop a sense of love of God, we will like to use our money or skills or something for Krishna's pleasure. And you will see how it brings a special kind of satisfaction. Tyagaha shantir apayashunam, the Lord will explain it. If you don't understand in this way, I will give a very bad example. But I have to give to make you understand. You want to cut it? By constipation, we feel very uneasy. But when the constipation is relieved, we feel very peaceful. So we keep on aggrandizing. Aggrandizing is like constipation. Ikhatta kar rahe, ikhatta kar rahe, ikhatta kar. So we feel very uneasy. It's a nice effect. But when we give it away, especially when give it away for Krishna's pleasure, then we become very happy. I personally feel, whenever I get this knowledge, I immediately feel, not a constipation, but I feel uneasiness. I must give it to others. That's the advantage of giving, having knowledge, that you can always give it to others without thinking whether I should give or not give. Money was asakti. Money is also needed, but many times money we cannot give 100%. So this is a good point. But we also need money. Don't worry, our donors are hearing. We need your money also. But I'm just saying, this is very important. Very good example. All of us want to work in the highest company, is it not? We want to serve a person who is the most rich. We want to serve a person who is most stable, especially government job. That's why we person want government job. So why should we not serve Krishna, who is the highest? We know that there is His Sakshat Ishwar. There is no controller above Krishna. Make sense? So if Krishna wants to does He wants that He should do good to His devotee, who can stop? Samajh rahe hain baat? And He is eternal. I think all devotees must have understood that now we are under Krishna's shelter. Life after our life, Krishna will give us opportunity to serve Krishna for Him. I think all the devotees must have developed this faith and understanding based on Bhagavad Gita. This is very hope-giving. Not only hope-giving, it makes you peaceful also. Whether we become liberated or not, but Krishna will make sure that we'll come to bhakti again and again. And I think devotees can get a hint that they are going back to Godhead by the way that the material desires are diminishing, by the way the eagerness for sadhana is increasing, by the way the faith in Lord is increasing, this assurance that we go back to Godhead, or at least go very close to it. Us samajh rahe is baat ko? No one is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shvetashvatar Upanishad, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. We have learned this. He is a controller of great controllers also. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all this survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. Did you understand this point? Anything the living entity without proper training sees, it thinks it is for the pleasure of Krishna. No, it is for my sense pleasure. Without training, that's what we think. And that desire, that attitude itself is the cause of the misery of living entities. This we have to hear again and again. To nip this evil in the bud, desiring sense gratification. Never ever think that if we plan for sense gratification, that plan will not be thwarted by material energy. जो भी प्लानिंग कर रहे हैं भोग की, वो भौतिक एनर्जी उसको डिस्टर्ब करने के लिए पहले से अच्छा प्लान बना चुके हैं. मटेरियल एनर्जी इज अ बेटर प्लान. If you have remember the class I gave in Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, if he does not plan for sense gratification, sukham avritah, he remains covered with happiness. And if you don't believe, please make a plan for marriage. Those who are married or they are planning to get married, they will understand it. As soon as you start to make a plan for marriage, I have no problem, you get married. You will have problem. I will have no problem. Is it? You will have problem. Marriage is not a problem. People have to get married because they have to go through that suffering. Unless they go through the suffering, they won't understand. I was just laughing in a sense that one Mataji's father had died. So, and she is very spiritual. In our group only, I won't name her. Father has died, so mother and they are getting, doing by some economic thing, they are getting maintained. And the brother wants to be brahmachari. So brother will not take responsibility. So right now, somehow that they are getting maintained. Is it not? Then now, I said, why you want to get married? Oh, because every girl has to be married. Who will take care of me? But right now, who is taking care of you? And who is taking care of your mother when the father has left the body? I have no objection in what people choose in their personal life, but when a strange faith, is it not? Who's taking care of you right now? And I'm seeing one of my aunties, her husband died. Now she has to work for her kids also and all those things, and no time for bhakti. I have no problem. Most of the girls have to get married. That's their psychology. That's a different thing. But I'm just seeing, or in boys also. But and it can be done as a matter of duty or whatever we want to do. But as soon as for anything we have a plan for in sense enjoyment, you must remember the suffering is inbuilt in it. Whether it's marriage or any other sense gratification. Even if a person has to get married, it should be done as a sense of duty that okay, both a husband and wife will do bhakti. Jaise hi bhog kiya, bhog ki bhavana bhari hui hai. As soon as we're thinking of sense gratification, we are preparing our own misery. This may appear all very strong words, but these are not my words. This is from Bhagavatam. Maitreya Muni says, Vaidura says, Sukhani karmani karoti loke. In this world, people do all this marriage and everything so that they can get happiness. But they don't get happiness, they get the different result. That's why I speak Bhagavatam. By hearing Bhagavatam, person's anxiety will go. Before we go forward, understand one more point. As soon as we have a material object for our sense gratification, immediately it creates an emptiness in the heart, and so that we want to have further things. Have you experienced this? Hindi mein Maharaj kehte hain, isko koi vastu prapt karte hain, wo ek glani ka nirman karte hain. Glani means emptiness. I want more. I'm bored by this. I want something new and like that. So that's what the Prabhupada explains here, that we think that we are Lord of all our survey, of all what we survey, what we see, but actually we are completely controlled by the modes of material nature. Samajh mein aage? The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Stringent, you understand? It doesn't show any mercy. You make a mistake, we suffer. It's not. I remember last time I had eaten an ice cream from Karunamitra, Kulfi. And my mind was saying, no, nothing will happen. And you know what happened? For 15 days, my whole voice was gone. Have you experienced this? Many times, you will drink some cold juice or something like that. Nothing will happen. Don't worry, nothing will happen. And then, no mercy, is it not? You cannot say, the child will fall from the wall and say, oh, he does not know. No, what is this? Everyone suffers. The laws of material nature are cold, C-O-L-D, no mercy. I'll take up the questions after the class. He's finishing this now. Oh, a long, long way to go. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world either individually or collectively. Samajh mein aaya? If I am thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, then we will get beaten up nicely by the material nature. And actually we get beaten up, but अभी एक question आ गया है तो उसको बोल रहा हूँ. सुख दुखेशु सुख मानिना, we get beaten nicely by material nature and we think that is happiness. One, I will not name, but one devotee was serving from working from 9 to 9, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then the devotee told me at the end, he would just go and crash on the bed. This is the happiness of materialism. This is how it is. Work like a donkey and for something. Even people say, hum khane ke liye kama rahe hain. We are working for eating, but they have no time to eat. So then what we are working? One of our devotees told that one of his friends has money is coming to his account, credit, but there is no time to debit. He can't spend the money. Doesn't make sense, no? Collecting, and he just worked like a donkey whole life. This is foolishness. Samajh rahe hain? Till the time we see ourselves as enjoyers of this world, we can never become peaceful. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord, and also one point is, I forgot. Suppose in my room in which I am giving class, there were 12 dogs. So will they hear Bhagavad Gita very nicely and peacefully? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, giving us a nice knowledge. Will not. So Prabhupada says that a pack of dogs can never remain peaceful. And I observe it how in Vrindavan, the monkeys fight for very important reasons. you know the taunt, you know. We actually see it, how they will fight for useless things. Also dogs also. And Prabhupada says this human life is not meant for fighting like cats and dogs. So you see, and now you understand, if I am peaceful, Shubham Shrihari Prabhu is peaceful, Shri Radha Charan Prabhu is peaceful, Gaur Gopal Prabhu is peaceful, and Rudra is also peaceful. And all of us together will be peaceful. For simple si baat. And have you not noticed, I said it's simple, in our Brahmachari Ashram, there are 18 devotees and not even one from one single city. All from different cities, places and even countries. And we live mostly peacefully, not so much jagada. Because everybody is focusing on Krishna. And it's amazing, and I don't want to tell ghar-ghar ki story, ghar-ghar ki kahani. In households, because people are thinking of their sense gratification, there is fight over even among two people, even husband and wife. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is a supreme predominator and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This is understood? Everybody is trying to satisfy Krishna as per his capacity. No competition. The fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. It was asked by Arjuna, which is better, Sankhya Yoga or Karma Yoga? So he explained in this chapter how Karma Yoga is liberating. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. The Lord is supposed to be pleased by this work. Very simple. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. You know that? Because this has the knowledge within it. Akarma. Direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. But don't understand that Jnana Yoga can give rise to Bhakti Yoga. That is not there. Bhakti Yoga is independent. Only Jnana Yoga means, we have understood this. And by Jnana Yoga, person tries to know Sankhya Yoga. Who is the Supreme Personality of God? He begins to question like that. So in that way, when he finds that Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, he will serve Krishna. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute. And the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this is very important. I'm repeating the same point. Unless one knows who is bhajaniya, who is worshipable, what is sambandhyan, who am I, how am I supposed to approach Krishna, how am I supposed to worship Krishna, he cannot become liberated. That's why I must hear again and again, with what attitude I must serve Krishna, what does Krishna wants from me, or with what attitude Krishna wants me to serve him. And then we get the full mercy of Supreme Lord. Because most people worship any person just to get out of misery. Do you agree? Some misery or some want. But Krishna is not our order supplier. We are supposed to be his servant. Theek hai? Not supposed to be, we are his servant. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental parts and parcel. Just like my hand is part and parcel of my body. So my hand is supposed to serve my body. Finish. Khatam. Simple si baat. He comes into contact with Maya, illusion, due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. This has been explained several times. I won't explain it here. But this has to be accepted as a diagnosis of our disease. Can you understand it from this angle? If we have fever, we are suffering, then we go to the doctor. He makes us, it makes a diagnosis. You have viral fever. You don't blaspheme, you don't put yourself down, but you are aware, okay, this is not my normal situation. I have a fever due to some reason, and I'll have to take a prescribed path by which this fever will go down. Does it sink in what I'm trying to say? So see our material desires not as, see our material desire as an infection. As a pure soul, I am supposed to be a Anyabhilashita Shunyam and a natural lover of Krishna. Make sense? So seeing our whole body and the material desires as an infection, we should be eager to enthusiastically take to the process of Krishna consciousness by which this infection will be removed. Theek hai? Samajh mein aa gaya? Don't, we should not make a plan to further aggravate this infection. At least this is philosophy. Now whatever a person wants to do, he may do. Okay. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. What does it mean? To maintain the body, you can't just stop working. But remember that this body is like a yantra and an instrument, and with this instrument, I must serve Krishna to become liberated. So to that way, in that way, we should see our bodies. Kuch relate kar pa rahe hain? Bina kaam kiye to sharir nahi rahega na. If you don't work, your body will not survive. But basically a person should aggrandize, or not aggrandize, call it as much only so that by which his body is easily maintained. And that body must be maintained to learn, to inquire about Krishna, to basically do sadhana bhakti. Clear? That we will be peaceful. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. For it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. What does it mean? Even while we are in this material body, if we make up, we have an aspiration on, and if we act on that aspiration to constantly serve Krishna, while we are in this world, we are liberated. Clear? Just like we are discussing Bhagavad Gita, we are liberated. When we take prasadam, we are liberated. When we serve Krishna in any way, we are not getting affected by fruitive reaction. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. What does it mean? It means that dominating attitude that I will enjoy matter. And before that, before we can have this attitude of enjoyer, we have to identify with matter. Do you agree? I must identify with my senses. And then I can see, oh, these all objects are for my sense gratification. It's called false ego. So the more we become purified, bhava mahadavagri nirvapanam, the more we become free from false ego, we don't see ourselves as enjoyer of this world. And this actually works. Again, I'll repeat. The effect of chanting Hare Krishna is experienced as dissolving of false ego. In second canto purposes. So if you are really chanting Hare Krishna nicely, you will feel that material desires are vanishing and other aspirations for material enjoyment is also vanishing. A natural inclination for material enjoyment is diminishing. Okay? The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. Are you able to understand this? It's not that one devotee is more favored and you are less. It depends on our sincerity and seriousness in execution of Krishna consciousness. So I'll put it again a different way. Responsibility gives realization. If I take responsibility of how I'm chanting my rounds, I'm waking for Mangal Arati and taking prasadam, I will not take anything, not offer to Krishna. All these things, we need some effort and consciousness. So if I'm doing that, then we'll naturally get the blessings of the Supreme Lord. We could have also discussed some prajalpa here, is it not? We are discussing Bhagavad Gita. Now, one thing which you have to learn from here, even in the association of Vaishnavas, if some devotees are not sincere and serious, we can't stop and wait for them. We'll like to inspire them, help them, but we are not going to wait for them. Does it make sense? Ab isko nahi karna hai, agar jitna main karega, kya kar sakta? Just like the birds are flying together, but they don't fly for each other. They help and inspire each other, but they don't fly for each other. Samajh rahe hain? So everyone has to earn his own realization. Everybody can be given guidance, just like a doctor gives a prescription. So doctor is not prejudiced to anyone. The instruction of Lord Krishna is for every living entity, is it not? So if, to the degree we follow that instruction, we become peaceful. So that's why all this hearing is for our own good. Apana bhala karne ke liye sochna chahiye vyakti. That's why Mahaprabhu says, Janma Sarthak Karim, you lead a Krishna conscious life and also help others. So I'm not saying that we should not extend compassion to others, but we can't wait for them if they don't want to practice bhakti, even if they maybe are brothers, sisters or relatives or whatever. I hope this point is going across. And when we are sincere, they might be influenced also. And one more point Prabhupada says that in Krishna consciousness helps us to control the senses because senses have full engagement. Now I want to talk, so I can talk about Krishna. You want to take prasadam, you can take prasadam. And you want to think, you can think of Krishna. You want to have intelligence, you can understand Krishna consciousness philosophy or use all other senses in every way. There is no hindrance for using the senses. That's why. And in that way, we remember, Indriya, what is that? Rishikena, Rishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. When you engage your senses in serving Krishna, Sarva Padir Vinirmuktam, we become free from upadhis or designations, which are the cause of material desires. Yeh sab fast bol raha hun, samajh rahe na is baat ko? Upadhi means, I am this body, I am a man, I must enjoy a woman, I must enjoy wealth, I must enjoy followers, dhanam janam sundarim, is all based on upadhi. But as we keep on engaging Krishna's service, this upadhi's designation becomes dissolves gradually and gradually. Theek hai? And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage or Brahma Nirvana. Make sense? Kam krodat bhavam vegam sa yuktaha sa sukhi nara. While we are practicing bhakti, there may be some sudden arousal of material desires like that because of brief impressions, but we don't have to act on them. And if we don't act on them, then it will become weaker and weaker and weaker, and we become more fixed in Krishna consciousness. And the key to do this is association of devotees. The eightfold yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana and samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Try to understand. In Ashtanga Yoga, a person does yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, etc., pratyahara and then dharana. Then he begins to focus on the Supreme Lord. But in bhakti, we directly focus our mind on Krishna. Is it not? You chant Hare Krishna, you hear the sound vibration, you hear Bhagavad Gita, you take prasadam, you see the deity. You don't have to separately practice this yam niyam. So it directly starts from focusing on Krishna. So they are gradually doing it, but even when they focus on Krishna, that is in a mechanical way. But a devotee is engaging in practices which arouses his love for Lord. Hearing, chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Then as the love arises more and more, it is naturally and easy to remember Krishna. I'll just take up some questions. I hope I did not go very fast today. While preaching to one of my friends, he said, I haven't suffered any sort of distress till date. Okay, so he was born as a demigod, it seems, is it not? He was not born from the womb of one's mother. So fool number one. So there is no motivation to involve in bhakti. Then I told him about the loving relationship between the soul and super soul. But unfortunately, people don't consider love as their motivation to do bhakti. So can we make people like them convinced to involve in bhakti for material benedictions? So anyway, they chant at least one or two rounds. That's a good point. Some people are so dull, they can't understand their suffering. Some people, most of the people don't want love of God. Who cares about it? Who cares? But then, which is also a fact that chanting Hare Krishna can fulfill all your material desires. That's a fact also. So you can, seeing his condition, you can tell him. And as he keeps on chanting Hare Krishna, which gives him immense piety, immense, he will get purified. And that has been explained in the process of devotional service, that even a person comes with material desires for Krishna, just like Dhruva Maharaj was coming. So Krishna fulfills that desire, but not in a way so that he will have further desires. So that also can be encouraged, not a problem. How to answer if somebody asks from where the name of Lord Ram, Krishna, Shiva came? Well, this is not related to today's discussion, so we won't answer it. But Lord Ram's name, Krishna's name is eternal, and Lord Shiva's name also. Any other questions? No. So, we'll leave you here. Hope everybody understood. Once again. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One question now I have, since it is not live,